We're reading from a speech for the completion of the Zohar. This is on page 69 in Kabbalah for the student, and you can ask questions on kab.tv. Relevant questions can be aired during the lesson. A speech for the completion of the Zohar.
This article is unique. By it wasn't actually written, it was later corrected. However, Bala Sulam, what does he write here?
He says it is written for the completion of the Zohar with the commentary of the latter.
So Bala Sulam had a great feast in Miron. In Mount Miron, there were many people there. And then he spoke this speech of his, this article, that is. So let's hear it. Yes.
According to what I understand, we want to read this article specifically now because it speaks of the urgency of carrying out the role of the people of Israel, those who have the point in the heart, in their service for the Creator to deliver the correction to the world. So the question is, how do we also join in our desire to this article so that this urgency will really awaken in us?
There are books, articles, that I open them up and I read them. Right? Poetry, literature. Could be interesting, adventurous, different psychology, different fields. From there, I need to get some data. The Kabbalah books, they work completely differently. The book is a means. It's a connector.
An adapter, yep.
That you can connect to it. You can connect to this adapter. And that's how you should see the book, the article, that it helps you connect to this vast spiritual system, fulfilled with the light of Ein Sof, with the Creator that fulfills it. And the system itself is built from the souls, from the corrected desires of those very same great ones that through great exertion reached equivalence with the Creator, and therefore they can contain His revelation in their desires, in their vessels. And they were also such that they extracted from themselves like this pipe that you can connect through. And you can get from there upliftment, knowledge, corrections, something that will connect you to that very same system. Therefore, reading these books isn't like reading regular books, other books. That's why these books are called Torah. That they have the light that reforms in them. They have a force that if you expect changes to be like the authors of it, then you can get that force from there. And if you want to get intellect from it, if you want to treat it like all these other books, right? Then from that, you disregard all that they've done, and then you get, you're damaged by it, you get damage. And other than that, of course, you're not benefiting not yourself nor anyone else. It's very important how you connect to what they left you, this opportunity they left you to connect to them. Either you do it with the right intention or not. If you want wisdom from their books in your beastly intellect, according to your structure, to receive from them wisdom to benefit yourself somehow in this world that is completely, completely off. That's called the potion of death. It's better off not doing anything than connecting that way. And if one does connect, then only as the potion of life that you get from them what they want to give, meaning you open yourself up and that's it. You don't care. Whatever the upper one gives you, it's all for the good. And that's how you advance. That is called to believe in the sages. Have wisdom, to have faith in the sages, and so on. It's not simple. This condition is not simple, but it's necessary. That's what Baal Salam explains to us in the introduction to the study of the Ten Sefirot. Now, that's the entire difference between the potion of life, the potion of death, a bat or a rooster. That if you don't maintain the correct approach, you can step on the spot or even retract. With all that you might seemingly be, you know, delved in this business, but it's not beneficial, and even on the contrary, you fall to these klipot and you have to clear out of them. It might even take a few reincarnations. Therefore, man must examine himself constantly. Yes.
John from Chicago is asking, what can I do with my corporeal mind and heart in order to connect to that adapter called a book?
To annul oneself to the group and to the teacher. That's the means in order to be connected to the author. That's how it works, no more. That in annulment to the group, to the teacher, which conducts the group, all in all, that's that same area, that same place where you connect, that plug where one enters connection with the author. This exactly causes this compatibility between them, and the group is the adapter. And in general, all the group is the adapter between the Creator to all of humanity. That's that term. Yes.
The question is this. If you can please explain nullification before the teacher. It is said that the left rejects and the right adducts, and I have to build myself in between these systems. The left is also considered a correction. The teacher is like the Creator towards me, and I have to build my middle line towards him, or just accept in totality everything that comes from him.
The middle line means, yes, the middle line is the suitability to the upper one, compatibility to it, to the extent I'm able to. The teacher is called a guide. That what you hear from him on the spiritual path, you must accept it instead of your own head, of your own thoughts. Otherwise, he's not a teacher. And he, as a teacher, will want to explain to you and to prepare you to an independent life. But in order to receive from him all the discernments, all the preparations, all the instructions, you must annul yourself to his method, to his ways, to everything that belongs to the method. And to realize this method, you must do it in a group. Therefore, the teacher's head, his idea, his plan, must be dwelled in the group, and you enter that group and include yourself in it, swallow yourself into the group, and then you're immersed with the direction of the Creator that leads you, that carries you, the entire group and you in it, after him.
So the teacher is the right line, I'm the left line. The more I stick to the right line, my work becomes more effective.
Well, you can put it that way. There's a matter of the group here, an element.
No, when I say me, I already mean me within the group.
Let it be that way. It will change. I don't want to say yes, because then it might be accepted as something signed and that there are no other forms. So let's leave it kind of yes.
How then is it possible to ask a question without taking up space? Because if I already take up space in my question, I won't be able to receive your advice.
If the question stems from a desire and from an intention to receive aid, to reach a higher level of bestowal than the current level, then it takes up no space. And otherwise, there is nothing to ask, as it's called asking for the rain. Well, maybe read something.
An article, a speech for the completion of the Zohar. It is known that the desired purpose of the work in Torah and Mitzvot is to cleave unto the Creator, as it's written, and to cleave unto Him. We should understand what dvekut with the Creator means. After all, the thought has no perception of Him whatsoever. Indeed, our sages have discussed this question before me, asking about the verse, and to cleave unto Him. How can one cleave unto him? After all, he is consuming fire. And they replied, cleave unto his qualities. As he is merciful, you are merciful. As he is compassionate, you are compassionate. This is perplexing. How did our sages drift from the literal text? After all, it is explicitly written, and to cleave unto him. Had the meaning been to cleave unto his qualities, it would have to write to cleave unto his ways. So why does it say to cleave unto him? The thing is that in corporeality, which takes up space, we understand dvekut, adhesion, as proximity of place, and we understand separation as remoteness of place. However, in spirituality, which does not occupy any space, dvekut and separation do not mean proximity or remoteness of place. This is because they do not occupy any space at all. Rather, we understand dvekut as equivalence of form between two spirituals, and we understand separation as disparity of form between two spirituals. As the axe cuts and separates a corporeal object into two by removing the parts from one another, disparity of form distinguishes the spiritual and divides it in two. If the disparity of form between them is small, we say that they are a little far from one another. And if the disparity of form is great, we say that they are very far from one another. And if they are of opposite forms, we say that they are as far from each other as two extremes.
Baal HaSulam, in this speech for the completion of the Zohar, he's actually trying to say the benefits of what he's done, what he added to the book, why the book of Zohar is important, why it's important for our generation, because now he's presenting that book. Again, he's representing it. He's revealing this book to the generation. It's not just writing an interpretation, a commentary, and then putting it back in place. He wrote this commentary, and he wanted to explain to everyone that this commentary opens up the entire Zohar for the whole nation and for the whole world, and that this matter is current, it's actual, it's relevant for everyone. Everyone needs it. And that's what led him to write this interpretation of his. As he writes in the article, Time to Act, that it was not necessary and it became necessary. And therefore he acted. And now he's explaining to everyone how it's suitable for everyone, how it's correct. That's the essence of the article. Please.
For example, when two people hate each other, it is said about them that they are as separated from one another as the east from the west. And if they love each other, it is said about them that they are as attached to one another as a single body. And this does not concern nearness or remoteness of location. Rather, it is about equivalence of form or disparity of form. This is so because when people love each other, it is because there is equivalence of form between them. Because one loves everything that one's friend loves and hates all that one's friend hates, and they are attached to one another and love one another. However, if there is any disparity of form between them, and one loves something even though one's friend hates that thing, they are hateful of each other and remote from one another to the extent of their disparity of form.
Questions. Equivalence of form, disparity of form. Anything we read, yes, please, questions. Yes, Itzik.
What is equivalence of form? To what form do we need to equalize?
First, tell me what is a form?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm asking.
So there's internality, there's externality. I see a statue made out of marble. Next to it, it's made out of granite. Next to it, made out of stone, out of plastic, and so on. The same external form, but the matter is different. So what is required from us? It's required from us that we reach equivalence of form. That our matter would first be revealed to us. Who are we? What are we? Like with cotton wool, for example, or plasticine. And you turn this plasticine into this higher image. And then from your matter, meaning from your qualities, from your desires, from your thoughts, from anything that you're made from within, you'll form this very same shape of the upper one, but from harder material. And with this harder material, when you begin to process it, you can form more precise figures, more precise shapes. Not like plasticine, that it's soft, but you can already begin to see every little tiny thing, like in the face, or same thing in internality. And then matter becomes even harder. Until you reach the hardest matter possible, and there, the precision accordingly is the highest, that you can equalize yourself to the upper one, and the precision is complete, 100%. That's called complete equivalence of form, or adhesion. Nessie.
When we advance in our relations with a friend, what appears is a relation of adhesion, which is really how the Creator relates to me. But how can I know in advance what degree to aspire for? If it just surfaces, how do I know in advance the next level of adhesion?
We don't know anything along the path, and we have nothing inside of us, but only the shattered reshimo. In order to realize it correctly, I must do so in a certain world, in a certain environment, in a certain reality. That is the group. The realization of the reshimo is done by the light. In other words, in this image of ours, we have a few components. We have the reshimo, my general desire, where my qualities are and everything's built in. There's the group which I'm in, included in, and the light that works on us. And if I think about all of these things, that I want to arrange myself in a way that I'll be the devoted and active part of the system, that's considered that I annul myself, I adhere to the others. For that, I have to value them as the greatest of the generation. I must have the light that reforms as well, that the Creator will influence us, that we connect. And why are we connecting? Well, just to connect, no. In order to form this place of revelation that He'll be able to be revealed in. Why? To give Him contentment. All of these things I have to process within me in some way, as to the extent I'm able to hold it in my head, in my mind, and to start working. But to start with, there's nothing in me. A beastly desire, and in this beastly desire, a desire for a higher level is awakened, to reach the degree of Adam, of the Creator. And this desire is inner reshimo. It's a shattered desire. I can't use it. So I'm brought to a group, to the books, all in all, to the light that reforms. And then if I annul my will to receive, and I only want to use the reshimo to include myself in the group, and to nullify myself, my beast, that is. We've illustrated this many times. This is me. This is my point in the heart, taking it out of myself, putting it in the group. And in the group, I want it to exist. I want it to get influenced by everyone. Through them, I get the light that reforms. I learn together with them. I do here different actions, and then I change. And here, what I have here is only necessity, not praised nor condemned. A minimum of what I need. This is the beast, the degree of animate, the animate degree. And here is the degree of medaber, speaking. Yes, my student.
Good morning, Rabbi.
Good morning.
I wanted to ask you, what does it mean to cling to the Creator?
Adhesion is through equivalence of form. The Creator is the degree of Bina. That's how the Keter presents itself to us, through the Bina, which is entirely bestowing. And I, in order to reach the Creator, need to also be a bestower. How can I bestow to Him? How can I bestow to Him? By giving my vessels for Him to bestow in. But how can I give Him my vessels? That these vessels will only exist for Him to influence me. So here this intention has to exist. Influence me. Bestow to me, because I only want to react to you. I want to give you the reason. I want to give you the good sensation. And that is considered that I put myself at your service, under your authority. For example, here, I wanted to receive for myself. But instead, I form the tzimtzum, I form the screen, and all of that is in order to think of Him, of the bestower. See, this is the returning light. Or chozer. That's what I need to do. One, two, three. Tzimtzum, restriction, masach, screen, or chozer. Returning light. Once I've done that, it's considered that I have a kavana, an intention, the right intention. And to the extent I have the intention, I'm able to get everything from Him, because that's His desire. I want to receive everything in order for Him to enjoy. How do I know that? If I find happiness in Him. That's my purpose, to make Him happy, as He wants to be with respect to me as good and benevolent. So we don't need anything other than forming a vessel for the Creator to dwell in. Therefore, we yearn for the revelation of the Creator. Or you might be yearning for His revelation with a different intention. Do you want Him to be revealed to make Him happy? Or to make yourself happy? Answer yourself. It doesn't matter to me. That is the point.
Ken.
Yes.
No, liadakir.
By the wall. The one who's adhered to the wall.
Could it be that I have equivalence of form with someone, but our desires are absolutely opposite?
Desires can be completely opposite, as you say. Yes, of course. However, there is no greater change between the Creator to the creature. He is entirely bestowal, and here he is entirely reception.
But when we work in the group, we speak a lot about making actions, like, for instance, you know, dancing together, like we, like taking part in that, for instance. So I can't sit aside and have the same intention. Why do I have to dance with them? This is what I don't understand, like how...
Okay, we're going back to the text. I can't afford just to...
We said one of the measurements is happiness from the upper one. How do I know that the upper one is happy?
For that, you have to reveal Him. If you want to reveal Him for that. But guys, I just wanted to add to the article, and you already are... Well, go on. So, we've spoken about what it means to... identify? We're opposite, and how can we identify with each other? Of course, our desires are opposite, our nature is opposite, our matter is opposite. Our intentions have to be equivalent, him to me and me to him. That's it.
And if they are opposite, so that what one loves, one's friend hates, it is said about them that they are as remote and separated as east from west. And you find that disparity of form in spirituality acts like the axe that separates incorporeality. Similarly, the measure of remoteness of location and the measure of the separation in them depends on the measure of disparity of form between them. Also, the measure of dvikut between them depends on the measure of equivalence of form between them. Now we understand how right our sages were when they interpreted the verse and to cleave unto him as adhesion with his qualities. As he is merciful, you are merciful. As he is compassionate, you are compassionate. They did not deflect the text from their literal meaning. Quite the contrary, they interpreted the text precisely according to its literal meaning, since spiritual dvikut can only be depicted as equivalence of form.
Meaning, only the form is what we need to equalize. Not the matter and the inner desires, but what is equivalence of form? It's the intention. What do I want from my actions? So one wants to benefit by bringing chocolates, another one by bringing flowers, and another one by bringing some herring. The fourth one smiles, the fifth one plays music, doesn't matter. They all want to give contentment, each one, in what he's able to, from his vessels. But the system is constructed in a way that we form this complete kli, and we can get the bestowal from him in a complete manner to fulfill his desire. To fulfill his desire is to give him the opportunity to bestow. That's clear, right? No argument about this. You're asking about this? Let's see.
What's the difference between desire and intention? I want to give contentment. The intention is that I want to bring contentment, so it's a desire.
No, that's the way we say it, but you're right, it's confusing. A desire is a desire. And this desire does not change. I want to sleep, I want to eat, I want to go for a walk, I want 1,000 things. It's said that a person, a human being, has 620 desires. Or we can divide them into food, sex, family, money, honor, knowledge. Groups of desires. These desires are constant. The light that entered the four phases of direct light, it imprinted all its forms of bestowal in matter, in the will to receive. And then the will to receive began to yearn for that same fulfillment, and it remained in him. It remained forever. Nothing you can do. He wants. Meaning, what do we want originally? The creature wants what comes from the Creator. What Malchut of Ensof was got this impression from Malchut of Ensof. After that, it felt shame. It wants to bestow back in return. It wants to be equivalent to the Creator. She doesn't care whether she enjoys or not. To that extent, she wants to bestow to him. After she's certain that she is above any self-calculation, but only cares about bestowing to him, she begins to open herself up for the reception of the light. Because by that, she bestows, and that's the partsuf called Galgalta. She completely restricted herself. She has no business with herself. To the extent she gets a desire, to the extent she's empty from within, that is unimportant. What's important is whether or not I bestow. And then she opens herself up as much as possible maybe only this thin pipe, but to the extent that it's able to receive in order to give him pleasure. The calculation is with respect to the Creator. Am I giving him pleasure or not? And also in the Malchut itself calculates, can I receive it or not? That's how she calculates. In her Rosh, in the Rosh of the Galgalta, that's where all the desire and all the light, and there they construct the Rosh. The desire itself does not change, only to the extent you use it. The light does not change, only to what extent can you be equivalent to it. That's the calculation.
So the intention is the nullification?
The intention is the addition to the desire of the creature and the desire of the Creator to equalize these two desires. From the Creator, there's nothing to correct. His desire is to bestow, his intention is to bestow, his bestowal, all with respect to the creature, and therefore he does not disturb the creature from annulling himself. If the creature wants to annul, he can annul. The Creator is willing to suffer. Whatever the creature decides, let him decide. The Creator never does an action on his behalf. The upper light is at complete rest. If we don't draw upon ourselves the good actions or bad, nothing will come from him. In the world of Ensof is the entire light and the entire Kli. And that's it. Other than that, there's no providence, there's no innovation. Everything just rolls with the intention of the lights to the vessels and the creature in between, and by his freedom of choice he can hasten times. And it's not only the times, it's not that they'll go parallel, the light and the Kli, but it's to the extent that the Kli will be one step ahead of the light. The creature hastens it. He draws the light, and then it turns out that there's this surplus of the light with respect to the development of the Kli, and then we feel Achishena, feel the hastening time. And if the creature does not do that, but he stops even the light with his egoistic desires, then the Kli is ahead of the light, and then we advance in Be'ito, which is sufferings. But it's all in the hands of the creature. Only. You cannot blame the Creator. Once he's determined the fact that you need to reach equivalence with him, and you have two forces in the creation, the force of the light and the force of the vessel, this with that was created by the Creator. Therefore, you can cry out of different problems that take place in the world. What's done to you, to your nation, nothing. Don't ascribe any of that to the Creator. And also, you cannot ascribe it to the nations of the world. That's matter. Without a point in the heart is just matter. But only those who have a point in the heart and can speed up and put the light a little bit ahead of the Kli, and if the opposite is done, that the Kli is ahead of the light, they're to blame. Who are they? Those who have free choice. Yes.
To reach the complete true desire, we're told we need a certain grasp in it, and that grasp is above reason, we're told. So the question is, if above reason is sufficient to reach the complete final desire.
If a person rises above reason, meaning rises above his desire, he can calculate regardless of his desire, independent of it. Yes, Vika.
Are there any good or bad actions?
Of course. For the advancement in the purpose of creation, that's good, and against, bad. In other words, you're asking, do I have free choice? Because good or bad is exactly in between, and that's where the free choice is, in the middle.
This isn't what I'm talking about. I'm saying we, for instance, we had round tables, discussions about relationships, a workshop. So then you say in systems of relationships, there's relationship between friends too, but it's all relative. Why can I really be bad towards someone? It's all towards myself. So how could there be good and bad? There's only a relation between me to him, him to me. So why is it good or bad?
The way I treat myself or the way I treat him is exactly good or bad.
To reach Dvekut, you can't have good or bad. You have to equalize with both forces. I both love and hate. So how do I do it? Dvekut is two forces.
What's more and what's less? What is more and what is less? The force of the light or the force of darkness? That's what you arrange. And you have to tell yourself that you're always with this even. A person will always see himself partially in merit and partially in debt. And then either a little light or a little darkness. What do I advance?
How do I advance? How do I advance a bit of light over darkness?
If you're included in the group, bring us presents, participate with us, smile, bring this strengthening spirit, take part in dissemination, other things as well. That is considered that you do good. Yes.
Our systems here is not the issue. You spoke about throughout the week about systems of relationship between spouses. So when your spouse does, you know, gives you a hard time or the other way around, the question is, how do you do it there? You started developing this on Saturday.
We explained yesterday, we talked about it yesterday, that this system of the family between the husband and wife is a very good system in order to scrutinize these matters on a daily basis, every moment. Although, how long are you already at home and in contact with your partner? But that's how it is, because there you have the opportunity to rise above yourself, not above her, but above yourself. And to begin to work on yourself in giving in. That's called the Tzimtzum, rising above all desires for the spiritual goal. I should give up for this and that. But this, no. Why? Because I'm willing to do what she wants, I'm willing to help her in different things, to listen to her, but not that I won't get up for the morning lesson, not that I won't go to Shivat Chavarim or something. I scrutinize. With respect to what? With respect to the help against him. And I need to invert her through payments, through doing what she wants. I want to invert her to aid and not against me. That she'll eventually understand that we can live good. And you'll see in a few years, there won't be even any couples in the world. I don't know, it will be something all confused, all incidental, or people will understand. Not that there won't be at all, but there'll be a drastic fall. People will discover that only on the condition that they use our method of correction, you can maintain family. Otherwise, it's impossible. The ego will grow so much that no one will stand the other. And also children, what do I need children for? Who needs them? And so on. Ego has a little bit more to grow and you'll see what happens. And only if a person knows that there is a higher goal, a higher force, the light that reforms, and it's worthwhile for one to do so, because without one being married, without one doing this in his family, without one being married to the group and doing it in the group, without the group wanting to be married to the Creator, to have a chuppah with him, without that, you cannot reach the purpose of creation, the end of correction. Without that chain, if a person does not go through this chain, then he'll feel that it's better off being dead than alive. And the same laws between man and his wife are between man and the group, and also between a woman and the woman's group, and eventually between this female image and the male image, this between them, it has to be the same, and between that to the Creator, it's the same system of relations. Are you in quarrels with the Creator any less than you are with your wife? You'll find what strife you're in with him.
Just 2 minutes ago, you told us that there are two forces, the good forces and the bad forces, right? So use the good ones, don't use the bad ones. On the other hand, we were told the opposite. Don't run away from it. Learn what love is. Learn what hate is.
Did I tell you to run away? I told you to use it.
So I do need to have the hatred and behave with love and discover the middle line. What am I supposed to do?
Middle line means to reach a compromise.
What's the compromise?
Meaning that I give up on this and this and that. On what? On everything. Except for contact with the Creator. Why? Because who are you for me? Oh, you're my other half. What for? To reach a complete person, to reach contact with the Creator. Why did he create us, these two parts? In order for us to be revealed and find him? And that is the only way I come and marry you? Well,
she is the female's work is to really make a hell out of your
incorrect.
Life.
Incorrect. You weren't in our workshop yesterday.
I was there.
Then you understand.
But she's supposed to give you the deficits.
No, that's what we said. The woman is not the snake. The snake was revealed between them. You didn't hear that yesterday? Listen to it again. I was asked that question. I was sent a question like that. Why do we disregard the women? And I said, what do you mean disregard? Woman, man, they're both completely equal. Only the serpent was revealed in the connection between them, but the serpent is not related to the woman. Eve is not the serpent. The serpent is the intention in order to receive between them with respect to the Creator. Serpent works with respect to the Creator, not between them. Okay, we'll talk about that. I can see that one workshop is not enough. Maybe you come to the... We have tomorrow a singles night. Maybe come to that evening and you'll be taught. Moshe, take him. Okay, and we're about to conclude, right? Any news? Nothing. Okay, all is the same. That's also good. So locate the serpent not in the woman, but in yourself. Concessions for the goal, and if you do that, you'll see it's not against, it's aid, it's help. There is no woman that if you treat her correctly, unless it's, something that you can't call her a woman, but there is no woman that will not follow you, that will not go with you together if you treat the Creator correctly. This is a game.
the Creator puts you in this game. You have to see in her your dialogue with the Creator. That's why it says to Abraham, listen to what your wife Sarah says. I'm in her, I'm instead of her. Tell that to your wife. She'll like me. Meanwhile,
with this we conclude. Good day, great night. Let your heart listen, shoulder to shoulder. You won't be alone. Love is around, the deepest ocean. Together we're drawn in. I won't let go. It feels so good to be a part of you. This is why.
Together.